Well, good morning, everyone. I've got to say, this is not how I imagined giving this sermon today. On Tuesday night, Min came down with a fever that turned into hand, foot and mouth. And then on Friday night, I also came down with a fever, lots of aches, and spent all but about 4 hours of yesterday in bed. I took a COVID test. It's not COVID, so chances are it is hand, foot, and mouth. So I thought probably best this morning if I share God's word with you without also sharing that with you. So a kind of particular irony to me giving this sermon via video this morning, because I'm talking about intimacy, and this is not a very intimate way of sharing something with you, but that's okay. I trust that God will use it and do with it and speak what he wants to speak to us this morning. So last week, Pastor Sam kicked off our series, and he talked about how we're all hungry for intimacy, that God has made us for intimacy, first of all, with himself. And so Sam looked at Genesis 2, where it says that God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and how that breath was like a kiss of intimacy. And but increasingly in our society, we look for that intimacy in other things. So this week, what I'm going to be talking about is not only are we made for intimacy with God, but we're also made for intimacy with others. So let's take a look at verse 18 in Genesis 2, which says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And so then we see this process in Genesis of God bringing animals to the man and seeing whether they could be a suitable helper. But in the end, the only companion for the man was another human, formed out of his own body. And so we see that God has made us for intimacy with him, but in that moment in the Garden of Eden, the man had God, and yet God still said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so human relationships are a really important part of the life that God wants us to have. And there's a problem, particularly right now, in that it's not happening. You may have heard in the news about a loneliness epidemic that's followed the COVID pandemic. There was a recent Harvard study that said, now this is of US adults, but it said 36% of adults in the US were experiencing serious loneliness. And when you look at the young adult age group, the 18 to 25, that number was 61%. So what we're talking about today is that on the one hand, we have this great need for human relationship and intimacy in those relationships, but that it's actually quite a challenge in order to experience it. And I want to clarify that when I use the word intimacy, when I'm talking about intimate human relationships, naturally our minds go to marriage. We think of romantic sexual relationships, but most relationships aren't that. And in fact, what I'm going to be talking about today isn't that. It's actually friendship, intimate friendships that God has built us to desire and to have in our lives. So in order to do that, we're going to look at a particular friendship in the Bible, and that's the friendship of Jonathan and David. Now, Jonathan and David were unlikely friends. Jonathan was the firstborn son of Saul, Israel's king, and was the natural heir to the throne. He was brave and faithful and successful in battle. David was a threat to Saul's reign. He had just slain Goliath and was even more successful in battle than Saul was. The people loved him, and behind the scenes, the prophet Samuel had anointed him as Israel's next king. Saul wanted David dead, and even asked Jonathan to kill him. So a friendship between Jonathan and David is not what you would expect to happen here. But there are four things I think we can learn from their relationship. Let's start by looking at 1 Samuel in chapter 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Jonathan and David developed an intimate friendship. Now, these actions are symbolic not only of affection, but also loyalty and intention. This was them saying to each other, "I am for you." So much so that Jonathan, knowing that his father was in the wrong, continually protected and warned David and spoke well of David to his father Saul. And one event in particular highlights the depth of their relationship. Fearful for his life, David comes to Jonathan for help, and they develop a plan where Jonathan can find out if Saul really does want to kill David and then can warn him of it. It's a tense scene. As they develop the plan, their language to each other is intense. David takes an oath. Jonathan swears by the Lord. Jonathan makes a covenant with David. David reaffirms his oath to Jonathan. This is about honesty. They need to know their words to each other are true. So the plan goes into action. Jonathan attends a great feast with his father and tries to find out Saul's intentions for David. Meanwhile, David waits in the field to hear from Jonathan what the outcome is. Sometime in the course of the feast, Saul becomes suspicious when Jonathan speaks well of David, and Jonathan cops it from Saul. Let's take a look from 1 Samuel chapter 20. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Now Jonathan's life is under threat because of his friendship to David. But he maintains his commitment to him. Their relationship isn't built on circumstances. It's characterized by steadfastness. So Jonathan goes out and warns David in the manner they had planned. And because they knew for certain David's life was in danger, David had to flee. As the two men part, this is what we read. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left and Jonathan went back to the town. Jonathan's doing a lot of the work in this relationship, but importantly, their affection for each other is mutual affection. They love each other deeply. David weeps the most because of their parting. And when Jonathan later dies, David mourns and says, "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You are very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman." Now, when some people today read about the relationship between Jonathan and David, they get awkward about it. And the inevitable question is, were they gay? But that's because our society confuses sex with intimacy, and also because homosexuality is so prominent in our thinking today. But there's no suggestion that the relationship between Jonathan and David was sexual. And when David talks about Jonathan's love being better than that of a woman, it's partly because marriages back then weren't even necessarily based on love. And David himself didn't have a great track record with it. This is about friendship. Deep, intimate friendship. Friendship built on trust in each other's intentions, honesty, steadfastness, and mutual affection. When we talk about intimacy in relationships, we're not talking about a category of relationships like husband-wife or mother-son. We're talking about a quality of relationship, a quality of relationship that may or may not be found in a marriage or in a parental relationship or in a friendship, but that may be found in any type of relationship. It's possible to experience this kind of intimate relationship no matter what your life circumstances are, but it doesn't happen automatically or easily. So let me ask you, can you think of a relationship in your life right now that is like this? Or perhaps a relationship in which you've experienced this in the past? A relationship in which you felt safe, known, loved, cared for, and because of that, in that relationship, you experience joy and satisfaction and life, as if to be like, yeah, this is what I've been made to experience. This kind of intimacy, this kind of deep knowing and trust and love. That's what God has made us for. So then the question is, if God has made us for that, and when we experience it, there's something in us that just says, yes, this is what I want, then why do we have such a hard time experiencing it? Why is there so much loneliness in the world? Why is it so hard? I want to kind of raise three thoughts in answer to this question. And the first is that relationships are complicated. Might be helpful to think about two kind of factors that determine intimacy in a relationship. The first is connection, and so you could associate that with intention and mutual affection. And the second is consistency, so you could associate that with honesty and steadfastness. So the more connection you have in a relationship, the greater chance of intimacy you can have. But connection alone isn't enough. You also need consistency. And similarly, you could be in a relationship with someone in which there is lots of consistency, maybe a work colleague, for example, but there isn't a deep connection. And so you need both. In order to truly experience intimacy in a relationship, you need both connection and consistency. But let's think about each of those two things, because even though it kind of might look simple with two factors involved, actually within each of those factors is incredible complexity. And in some cases, we're dealing with things that are beyond our control. So some things that might inhibit our ability to connect with other people might be past hurts or trauma. It might be that we're dealing with mental health issues. It might be that we have really niche hobbies and no one else shares them. It might be that we just think differently. And so it's harder for us to engage in social settings with others. And then when it comes to consistency, there are so many things that can go against us. And maybe fear is one of them, or we don't want to keep kind of putting ourselves out there. But also just practical things like sickness, children, maybe a lack of mobility, maybe geographic isolation. Maybe when we have unusual work hours or when we experience a loss of a loved one, there are so many things that can happen in our lives that can impact our ability to be consistent in our relationships with others. For me, over the past 21 months since we adopted Min, it has been really difficult to be consistent in my relationships. There was the first year of just kind of intense settling in with Min and just really focusing on him and adjusting to our new lives. And then in this past year, It's just been a ridiculous run of sickness, as Min has been in his first year of preschool. So, so both Min and I have had 6 colds, a flu, COVID, and now hand, foot, and mouth. And literally, it's 100%. Whatever Min gets, I get. And it's really tiring. And it hasn't made it possible sometimes for me to do my normal things or to be in my normal rhythms or even plan ahead. It's gotten to the point lately where I just have kind of lost the energy to plan things because I just feel like I'm sick all the time. And, you know, we probably just need to cancel it. And there's an impact to that. Like when you lose consistency in relationships, you lose the rhythms that you're in, you kind of get out of the rotation. And that can be isolating, even though I have a lot of people in my life who I feel connected to. Actually, at the moment and in recent months, it has been hard to be consistent. And I know every new parent knows what I'm talking about. So what can we do about this? Because as God's people, we don't want the intimacy of our relationships to be determined by our circumstance. That's not who we're called to be. Jesus told us about the nature of God when he said he's like a shepherd who will leave the 99 in order to find the one lost sheep. And in the book of James, we see that true religion means caring for the widow and the orphan, which is people who have been left alone through the circumstances of their lives. So as God's people, we're called to transcend those circumstances, that we're not just a group of people where some people miss out and some people have intimate relationship with others. And, you know, we're determined by circumstances, whether your sickness or if you are a widow or widower, if, you know, you just have things going on in your life, your work life or in your friendships, it's sometimes that's how it can feel, kind of, that it's like, well, for some people, it's just bad luck, you know? But we are called to transcend that. We are called to actively look for those who are being left out, to actively pursue consistency with each other in our relationships, to actively seek connection, even when it may not be natural or easy. So if we know someone who's going through a hard time, who's vulnerable to loneliness, we need to reach out to them, to be proactive. But that's hard, isn't it? Because everyone's just trying to keep their heads above water. And I feel that, and I understand that more now that I've been through this experience. It's hard. I don't even necessarily know the answer to this. I know who we're called to be, but it seems like our lives are so busy and structured in certain ways where we're so independent and separated from each other. So I guess really I just want to ask, like, do you know anyone who has been left alone by the circumstances of their lives? If you already have some kind of connection with them, how could you develop greater consistency in your relationship so that you can grow in intimacy with them? Second thought about this is that our society presents a distorted view of intimate relationship. And firstly, that's in the sexualization of it. Sex is not the same thing as intimacy. You can have sex without experiencing intimacy, and you can experience intimacy without having sex. Our society has redefined sex as pleasure and sold it back to us as intimacy, but that's not right. That's not how it is. God has given us sex as the ultimate act of physical intimacy, to be enjoyed in a truly intimate marriage relationship. Its significance comes from the emotional and spiritual intimacy of the two people, not the other way around. But secondly, society gives us a distorted view of intimate relationship in the self-seeking nature of it. There are so many messages in the world about how to have a successful relationship, mainly centered on your own needs. If the other person isn't meeting your needs, ditch them. If they hurt you, ditch them. If they don't 100% support your truth, ditch them. If you just want sex and not intimacy, that's fine. If you need to lie a little bit to make things work in your relationship, do it. But God shows us a very different way to pursue relationships with each other, and it's based on love. So thinking about the aspects of intimate relationship we've looked at this morning, there are some questions we could ask ourselves about the relationships we're in. When it comes to intention, are you in this relationship for the other person or just for yourself? That doesn't mean you can't get anything out of it, but do you really desire the best for them? Honesty, are you true to your word? Do you keep your promises? Are you willing to be totally honest with others, including the uncomfortable, challenging truths? Steadfastness. Are you willing to persevere through the challenges and oppositions? Are you in it through the ups and downs, hurts and joys? And mutual affection. Now, one person may practically serve the other more from time to time, but do you like each other equally? Are you working through annoyances and continuing to seek a relationship based on mutual affection, not just obligation? The Bible shows us how to pursue intimate relationship with each other, but we've got to choose to pursue it God's way and not follow all the contradictory messages in our society. Thirdly, love may not fail, but people do. Let's remind ourselves of this great passage on love from 1 Corinthians 13. And it's a passage that is read often at weddings, even though it's not specifically about marriage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And it's in those last three words we find the greatest challenge to having relationships characterized by intimacy. And that is, while love may not fail, people fail to love. We fail to love. I fail to love. Our love is not perfect, and so we end up hurting each other, being selfish, lying, abandoning, holding grudges, getting angry, being impatient. And often we carry those wounds and hurts into our next relationships and the ones after that, and we act out of them. Imagine if Jonathan, wounded by his father Saul and desperate for his approval, sold David out in order to win his dad's affection. So many of our relationships with each other get messed up, not because we're malicious, although sometimes we are, but because we are broken. We have need and we act out of it. So what do we do? Well, we need to commit to ultimately putting our trust in God. Being in intimate relationship with another person is scary. The more intimate it is, the more you can be hurt by it. So we naturally feel fear about intimacy. And as I've mentioned, that fear is justified. We can get hurt. The other person isn't 100% trustworthy, and neither are we. So not only do we have a choice about what we do in relationship, but we have a choice about how we approach it. I don't have empirical evidence about this, but let's say the most trustworthy human in the world is 80% trustworthy, 80% selfless, 80% honest, 80% forgiving, 80% patient. Let's say we all sit on a spectrum from, say, 20% to 80% trustworthy. So there's a sense in which no one is actually fully deserving of our trust. The question is, how do we actually approach a relationship because of this? Or how can we approach a relationship because of this? For some, the answer is to accept it and maintain a certain proportion of vigilance, suspicion, and fear in the relationship. Like, if you're 80% trustworthy, then I'm 80% in, but the other 20% of me is going to be held back and self-protective. I'm not talking about being wise if you have a reason to believe a specific act of trust breaking is going on. I'm talking about general background fear and self-protectiveness. I believe God enables us to be fully in relationships because He Himself is 100% trustworthy, and He's told us not to worry about how our life and our relationships will work out. We can choose to base our trust not only on the trustworthiness of the person, but on the trustworthiness of God, that He is with us and that we will be okay, whatever happens. As I finish this morning, I want to pray. I want to pray that we would all experience true intimacy in our relationships with others. But I also want to particularly pray for those who have been hurt by past relationships and need healing from them. I want to pray for those who feel really afraid of being in intimate relationship with another person. I want to pray for those who are in relationships right now that are far from intimate and are in need of God's transforming power. I also want to pray that we would be a church in which the intimacy of our relationships transcends our circumstances, that we are committed to each other no matter what, that no one gets left behind or left out, that no one is alone in our church. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you've made us for intimacy, first of all with you, but also with each other. God, we acknowledge that that's a challenge for us humans. But Lord, we know that you are able to help us experience all that you have made us for. And so even in this, even in the challenges we face as we seek to experience intimacy in relationships, we know that you are able to provide what we need in order to experience it. God, I pray for anyone who has experienced hurt in relationship, anyone who has a hard time trusting, a hard time making themselves vulnerable or being known by others. Pray for anyone who's experienced trauma in the past from past relationships, God, that you would heal them and enable them to trust you, that they would be able to take steps in their human relationships based on their trust in you, and that you would heal them, God, and allow them to experience true intimacy. And God, I pray for us as a church. I pray that we would be a church in which no one is alone, that the extent to which we experience intimacy in our relationships isn't determined by our circumstances, but that somehow, even though it goes against so much of what society says to us and how society tells us to order our lives, God, I pray that you would help us to look out for each other, that no one would be left out, no one would be alone, that you would help us connect and be consistent with each other so that we can experience the relationships and the love and the trust and the joy that you want us to experience. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks that we can connect in this way, even in the midst of sickness. Thanks for all the technology you've blessed us with. And I pray, Lord, for those in the room right now and for those at home, that you would put in them a step or a person that they can take this morning, someone they can reach out to, or even just acknowledging that there are things in their lives that are stopping them from experiencing intimacy with others. God, would we step out in faith with you, that we would be more of who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.